Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those who study religion have observed that in our country, there is a sort of outlook that people have that tells you something about what they're looking for, what they believe in. And they often call this moralistic therapeutic deism. Moralistic, that people are oftentimes, even if they may identify as Christians, they're looking primarily for morality, instruction, and then they're also looking for therapy, therapeutic, that this helps a person feel better, the religion helps a person feel better, and also deism. They're looking for a kind of a generic God rather than focusing on God as he is revealed in Jesus Christ and knowing God in Jesus. But I'm going to focus today a little bit just on that second one, a therapeutic, therapy. That sometimes people are looking for simply therapy when they come to the church, when they come to religion generally. That they want someone to help them feel good, and tell their problems, kind of like you would talk to a therapist. But is this really what Jesus has come to do? Is merely to provide therapy? If that is the case, then really only when you feel bad, only when you're struggling, you come to Jesus or you come to the church then and lay out your problems like you would before a therapist so that you can feel better, because you can get everything out. But is this really what we should be looking for? Is this really the primary thing that our Lord Jesus Christ has come to do and come to give? Is this all that he comes to give? In our gospel reading for today, Jesus asks Philip a question that tests him. It tells us in the text that Jesus is testing him, and it tests him to see whether he really sees Jesus for all that he has come to do and all that he can give. And this test question should also test us in our day and age as well. Whether we will simply see Jesus or his church and his people as therapy that we go to in this particular situation when we just have emotional difficulties, or whether we will see Jesus as the one who provides for us the forgiveness of sins, and that forgiveness of sins gives us all things. And then whether as his people who are forgiven in him and given new life, whether we will see Jesus as the one who provides for all of our needs of body and soul. Whether Jesus is the one that we will turn to in each and every need. Not just when we are having emotional difficulty. Not just when we are struggling with the things of this world. But when we are struggling with all our needs of body and soul. And say that Jesus is the one that can provide for all that we need and all that we have. And that he even can do miraculous things to provide even for the material things of this world, to provide for our material needs, now and also in eternity. So let's look at the test, then, that Jesus gives to Philip here as he's sitting before this crowd of 5,000, at least 5,000 people, and see whether Philip passes the test and whether we too would pass the test. So Jesus is there before this immense crowd of people out in the wilderness. 5,000 people, that's an ASEAN and a half. And Jesus asks Philip where they will buy bread. Notice Jesus doesn't say, how will we find the money to buy bread, but where are we to buy bread to feed these people? Now this is important. Even if you have the money, you can't necessarily get that much food at a moment's notice. And we hear in another one of the Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark, that this was a desolate place. So there's not much there, even if you have a lot of money. Even if the disciples were loaded with money, the trip to the first century version of the nearest ginger fresh market is a ways away. They probably don't carry enough bread to feed 5,000 people. So that's the situation in which Jesus poses this test to Philip. And it looks like, by all human reason, by what we're used to seeing, that it would be impossible to feed this group of people out in a desolate place It would be impossible to find enough bread, even if you had money, to feed all these people. So when Jesus tests Philip by asking, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" we might expect that the most obvious answer is nowhere, or "That's impossible." Sounds like the right answer to the test question. And Philip answers along those lines. He says, 200 denarii wouldn't buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Philip hears, "Buy bread," and immediately begins calculating the cost. He says it's financially impossible to actually feed and satisfy the entire crowd. But Jesus didn't ask where they would buy. He asked where they would buy. He didn't ask how they would find the money. Jesus is pointing Philip to a place where they should get bread. And it isn't an overlooked grocery store that might have that much in stock. The right answer to Jesus' question is staring Philip right in the face. The place where they are to get the bread, where they're supposed to find it, is right in front of Philip. They are to find that bread from Jesus. And Jesus isn't charging any money. They get to buy without price. I'm reminded of Isaiah 55, where God speaks through Isaiah and says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Our Lord offers free gifts. They are to come and buy without money, without price. They are to receive the free gifts that Jesus offers. And what does he do? He multiplies the 5 loaves and the 2 fish so that they feed 5,000 people. When Jesus asks, "Where are we to buy bread?" Philip should turn and see Jesus right before him, not turn to the bank, to the money, to use that to buy bread or find bread, but rather turn to Jesus, who can give us what we need without money, without price. And it's easy for us, in hindsight, now that we see what Jesus did, to see that Jesus was the answer to that test question. And perhaps that should have been obvious to Philip. After all, Jesus did turn tens of gallons of water into wine. He had healed an invalid. At his baptism, the heavens had opened. The Holy Spirit descended. It should have been obvious that Jesus could do amazing things and that he was, in fact, God. And since Jesus is God, then he can do things like this. If he is the God who created all things by his word, then he is able to take 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiply them. He is able to give people food and provide for them what they need, because he, by his word, created everything in this world, all the things that we have, all the raw materials of this world, out of nothing. But Philip isn't thinking beyond what is normal. He's thinking only of the normal order of things. You feed 5,000 people with large amounts of money. But the real answer wasn't a large sum of money. The real answer was Jesus. It takes faith to believe that Jesus can take care of every problem. Not just a particular kind of problem, not just emotional difficulties, but everything, even our most basic needs. Philip needed to see with the eyes of faith that the answer wasn't 200 or 2,000 denarii. The answer is the God of the universe who is speaking to him. We easily forget our Lord in the midst of our needs. We look only to our own resources to address our physical needs, emotional needs, mental needs, whatever they might be. Even though we have heard what God did for his people, the miracles he performed, the promises that he makes, when he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you," and "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Even though we have heard those promises over and over again, perhaps even memorized those Bible passages, it's easy for us to forget what God gives, to forget that he is the one that we need to turn to first in everything. When we're faced with financial difficulties, when we're faced with health problems, when we're faced with family problems, with anything and everything. We have to ask, who are we turning to first? Who is the first person that we believe can help us? When will we see that it is Jesus? Or with Philip, will we say, well, I need lots of money? We need to turn to Jesus first and foremost. And yes, the Lord may provide money. He may provide other things. But the first person we look to for every problem is our Lord, who was given into death for our sins, to pay for them, to buy us back, and to make us his own people, so that we might be his children and he might be our Lord. This is the one to whom we turn our eyes and look for all good. And that's where Philip needed to look. When Jesus posed this test question to him, we have to ask, in the midst of our tests, in the midst of whatever difficulties we face, are we turning to Jesus first, or are we turning somewhere else first? And look to our Lord. Call upon his name in prayer for anything and everything. And believe that he has given us the answer to our greatest need. Jesus addresses this sort of attitude that turns somewhere else in the book of Matthew. When he tells people in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things will be added to you as well. Jesus responds to those who might be anxious about the food that they're going to get, the drink, these basic necessities of life, and says, don't be anxious about those things. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first, in other words, to be part of the kingdom of God and have his righteousness in Jesus. To have his forgiveness and new life given to you in the absolution, in the Lord's Supper, and first and before that, in your baptism. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness to have this. And all these other things will be added to you as well. The Lord will provide for your needs in this life, for your needs. It may not be always what we want, or to the degree that we want it, but he will provide for our needs in this life. But ultimately, he has promised that he will give us all good things in heaven because of the death of Jesus. That having his kingdom, being part of his kingdom, and having his righteousness will mean that we have all other blessings in him. So do not be anxious about all these other things. When you see the problems of this world, when you see lack, as Philip saw lack, do not turn to money. Do not turn first to all these other things in this world that our Lord does give. But turn first to our Lord, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and believe that all these other things will be added to you as well. Jesus was able to multiply those 5 loaves and 2 fish and provide for these people. And he will provide for you what you need. And he has provided all things in Jesus Christ. In his cross, you should see that everything has been given to you, and that you have eternal life with our Lord in the great feast that does not end forever in heaven. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.